Barbara Stewart is my guest today, and she's written a terrific new novel, The In-Between. It's a work of stunning psychological depth and plain old everyday creepiness. We're not talking vampires or werewolves here. The source of the reader's discomfort just might be the uncanniness of the adolescent mind itself. Stewart's novel is marketed for the young adult audience, but I found the experience of reading it genuinely exciting, absorbing, and yes, creepy. Before plunging into your new novel, The In-Between, can we talk a bit about your preparation for the writing? Could you tell us a bit about your education in creative writing?
I have a bachelor's degree from Siena College, and I took a couple of creative writing classes there. And I had a professor who encouraged me to go on to graduate school, and so I went to WSU, Wichita State University, and they have a three-year program there, and I graduated in 99.
For the writing of this book, The In-Between, did you research your audience? I know the novel is marketed for young adults. Did you try to figure out what makes young adults frightened?
Honestly, no, I didn't. For this book, essentially, I mean, I have two nieces right now who are in their teens, and they love to read, and they love dark stuff. And so I was talking to them about the stuff that they had been reading, and that got me thinking about who I was when I was their age, and you know, the kind, what I would have wanted to read when I was, you know, 14, 15, because honestly, there was a period when I was younger. I read a lot when I was really young in junior high school. I was really into Judy Blum, and there was this horror series that I was really into and devoured every single book. And then basically I outgrew Judy Blum, and the horror series dried up. And there was, honestly, there was like a two-year period, like 9th and 10th grade, when I stopped reading. And so this book for me was, I wanted to write something for the 15-year-old me, but also something that the 43-year-old me could find interesting.
Well, so I guess that leads to the next question. So what does make you frightened? Yeah, and what sort of authors do you turn to now when you're looking for some eerie suspense in your life?
Actually, I don't read a lot of horror. I watch a lot of horror movies. And that started at a really young age. My grandmother used to babysit me a lot when I was a kid. I used to stay at her house on the weekends, and she was a huge horror movie buff. And she would let me stay up late at night watching Chiller Theater with her. And honestly, I look back at some of the stuff she let me watch, and I'm like, Grandma, really? there was some really freaky stuff. So the book kind of grew out of my love for horror movies.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I had a very similar upbringing, and I guess a similar grandmother, too. I felt primed and ready to read The In-Between. It's really a wonderful novel. You know what I was struck by is that the protagonist of your novel is a teenage girl named Eleanor. And Ellie is, oh my goodness, so authentically drawn that I felt like I needed to ask, what are the challenges of writing a teenage character? And did you rely on your own memories of what it was like, or do you spend an awful lot of time on field research just exploring the adolescent mind?
A lot of it was my own memories of what it was like. And also, like I said, I have two teenage nieces right now who I talk to a lot. And I didn't necessarily do a lot of research. Yeah, it's more experience. Mm.
Well, can you tell listeners a bit about Ellie, you know, what kind of young woman she is? And for me, having read the book, I'd also love to hear your ideas on what kind of adult she will grow into being.
Ellie I think in many ways is a typical teenager, but she does not see herself as typical. She has a lot of doubts and insecurities and anxieties about who she is. And, I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to get to with the book, is that sort of that in-between age where you don't really know who you are yet. You know, she creates her own narrative in this. And her narrative is she is stupid and she is ugly and she is fat. And nothing that happens to her, all of the good things that happen to her, cannot convince her otherwise. Honestly, I've never thought about the kind of person that she will grow, that she will grow up to be. I see her doing well, though, that this is sort of, you know, during the, you know, in the novel, she is in a transitional phase and she makes it. She makes it through this.
She does. I think she does. Of course, the ending is open-ended, and I'll not say anything about the ending to give away to the readers what they can expect. But, I, you know, for a long time, I lived in a home with two teenage daughters. And, you know, following the lobotomy, I was just fine. But, you know, during during the experience, it was pretty rough. And so I immediately found some sort of relationship with Ellie, and also with your character Autumn. Now, Autumn is I'm going to call her Ellie's friend in the novel, and she starts off as a marginal character, but slowly becomes central to the book. And I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about Autumn's sense of identity. She really is a unique a teenager, I guess.
Yeah, Autumn knows who she is and accepts it. And by the end of the book, I'm really hoping that Ellie is in the same place mentally as Autumn.
So in your teenage years, were you Ellie or were you Autumn?
I was Ellie.
I was Ellie, too.
There's a lot of Ellie. I mean, just that always feeling alienated and not just this feeling that no one gets you, that no one's interested in the things you're interested in. And, I mean, one of the things that Ellie goes through is, you know, she tries to be like other girls, and she just doesn't like the things they like. You know, she has no interest in their books and their music and you know, the TV shows that they watch. And she's a dark girl, and she thinks a lot. She probably thinks too much. So she's in her head a lot.
Yeah, I just found an awful lot to relate to Ellie. But I also found a lot to relate to with Ellie's mother and her father. Maybe an odd question, but as you were writing, did you have any hopes about what the parents of adolescent daughters might gain from reading your work?
When I was writing the book, I had to keep going back and forth, obviously,
right,
between, I mean, it's a journal, so you're in Ellie's head, and so you have to believe in everything that that she's experiencing. But at the same time, you know, I had to keep jumping back and looking at it from her mother's point of view. And, I mean, I think Ellie definitely needed help, and her mother may have waited a little too long for that. But just, I think just listening to your kids, and I understand when, you know, when you have a teenager, the ups and downs are just, I mean, insane sometimes.
Yes.
And everything is blown out of proportion, and it's hard to deal with that. But at the same time, you also have to accept that. And I think as a parent, you have to look back at who you were when you were that age, you know, and realize that, you know, and remember what you were going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always found it was a really difficult balance to strike between offering guidance and giving the room my daughters needed to find themselves. And they're both very creative, and so finding that balance sometimes was just precarious. And looking back, I made probably more mistakes of inaction rather than action. Do you think this is the kind of thought process for Ellie's parents?
Yeah, and I mean, going back again to the fact that I don't have children, but with my nieces, I get to be the outside observer when I go and stay with them for the weekend. I was actually just there yesterday. And I find myself sympathizing with the girls and then also sympathizing with my sister when these conflicts arise. And usually, though, I end up saying to my sister, you used to do the exact same thing. And, you know, the light bulb goes on in her head, and she's like, yeah, you're right. And, you know, she might take a different approach to whatever their problem is.
Yeah, it feels like cosmic revenge sometimes, karma.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Oh. Can we talk a bit about the novel's title? This may be the richest title I've come across in years for a novel. Can you tell us something about what the in-between means in reference to the characters and the storyline?
On the surface, I mean, the in-between is what Ellie calls, and I don't want to spoil anything here, what Ellie calls this place where she goes after she's in the car accident. I'm not giving anything away here. The novel starts with, I was pronounced dead at the scene of the accident.
Right.
And she has this experience in her new house, and she doesn't know what to call this. She goes through, you know, alternate reality, whatever. But also, I think, threads that carry through the novel, I mean, I said this before, where, you know, she's going through this in-between phase in her life between child and adult, and it's, you know, the in-between of life and death. And for her, it's, you know, popularity and the reject and just all of these different phases.
Hmm. Yeah. I think this is probably a reflection of my own religious upbringing. But I kept relating the in-between, at least the space of the in-between, as something akin to a purgatory. Did it mean something like that to you as well?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Let's, the sort of line of a thinking that I began to engage in while I was reading, and it was really absorbing. I realized that I had to choose at certain points in the novel between a spiritual explanation for what was happening to Ellie and a medical explanation. And I loved that. But I'm wondering if it is an either or in a novel like this. Is it possible to entwine in some way the scientific and the religious in understanding the in-between?
I think it is. And for me, honestly, it is both. And that's, some readers have really had a problem with the unanswered questions. They want it to be one or the other. Either it's the medical condition or Ellie is haunted or whatever you want to call it. And I didn't feel that I needed to answer that question for the story to be complete, because I think it can be both. And I'm a diehard X-Files fan, and I want to believe. But honestly, when the Scully and Mulder duke it out in my head, it's usually a draw. You know, and that's the thing, is that if you experience something truly phenomenal or bizarre, even the rational explanation is unsatisfying.
Yeah, I kept thinking about Freud and his description of the uncanny. And it was something similar to what you're getting at there. And that is that maybe our ordinary vocabulary really has to stretch to explain ordinary experiences, say, of the sacred or even of something like evil. Does Ellie have the vocabulary then to understand what is happening to her?
Yeah, And I think that's one of the things she's struggling with in her journals is she can't explain this to anybody else, and she even has a hard time trying to explain it to herself. I mean, she's constantly going back and forth between, you know, is this, what is this? What is happening to me?
Right. And that takes us to maybe the third most significant character in the novel, and this is Madeline. And without giving away too much regarding the plot of the book, can you tell us something about Madeline and her significance to Ellie?
Madeline is the exact opposite of Autumn. Well, actually, that's not entirely true, because Autumn is completely comfortable with herself, and Madeline is completely comfortable with herself, too. But for Ellie, I mean, Autumn is... There is so much of Ellie in Autumn, and there is... And Ellie wants to be more like Madeline now. I mean, Madeline is perfect.
Right.
She is, you know, this intense friend. I mean, it's deeper than friendship. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. She is everything Ellie wishes she could be.
What a triangle. It's so much fun just reading through and thinking about and relating my own adolescent friendships to this triad. And perhaps it's universal. Perhaps every teenager lives a life between friends who in one way or another present challenges about what they should be or could be. So for you, now that the in-between is out there in the world and strangers are picking it up and reading it now, who in your mind is the ideal reader for your book? Is it somebody like Madeline, or is it an Ellie or an Autumn?
It's an Ellie. It's a girl who does not know who she is yet and doesn't know her place in the world or hasn't figured it out yet.
I think that's why I found it such a compelling read. I'm not an adolescent any longer, but I'm still trying to find my place in the world.
I still feel like that.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm 43 years old, and I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And I often feel like an outcast, you know.
Pardon me, if I could go back in time and talk to the adolescent me, the only thing I would probably whisper in my ear is, it's going to be okay. But I'm still not sure what exactly that means. can you talk a bit about future projects? Is there another novel coming out, or are you working on something now?
Actually, there is. The process takes so long. I mean, it was a year and a half from signing the contract to the actual book being on the shelf 2 weeks ago. And in that time, I already had an idea for another book, and so I wrote it. And it's with the editor right now, the first, I guess you'd call it first draft. I mean, it's not my first draft, but her first look at the novel. It's called The Killing Part, and I'm sticking with creepy again because I'm enjoying it a lot. And this one is based on an urban myth. This one is a little more tied to horror movies than The In-Between. I mean, the novel starts out with, you know, four teenagers. These characters are a little bit older, too.
Right.
Four characters going into the woods. They find this ramshackle structure made out of tarps. And this is where this urban legend is supposed to live, and he appears. But like The In-Between, that's just sort of the surface of the story, and there's a whole lot more going on underneath that you discover as it progresses.
We talked about the influence of horror films on us both, the writer and the reader, and I was rather struck in thinking about the in-between, about the movie possibilities for a work like this, because so much of it occurs in Ellie's head and in her relationship to her journal. could you imagine a film being made of the in-between that would be true to your own vision of the story?
No, honestly, I can't, because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of action. You know, there aren't really full, it, because it is all in, so much of it is in her head, and so much of it is just her thoughts, you know, what she's writing in her journal about what's going on. Yeah, I have a hard time visualizing full-blown scenes.
I agree.
How they could do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Barbara, it's been really wonderful talking with you. I have to say, I wish this book had been written when I was a teenager. There was really nothing quite like the young adult genre. And I think I needed this book probably around the age of 14 or 15.